What is going on? It is the Rock the Walls podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Walford. On today's pod, I'll be speaking with guitarist and vocalist of Tunic, David Schellenberg, all about their latest release, Exhaling, out now on Artifact Records, the writing and recording of it, going into album number 2 and when we can expect that, and a whole lot more. So very excited for everyone to hear the podcast interview today. If you already do not, you can follow me on the socials at Rock the Walls on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to stay up to date with everything going on in the show, music news, and a whole lot more. I post the lineups for all of the live radio shows, which Rock the Walls is a live radio show. If, by chance, this is the first time you're ever listening to the podcast, Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Adobe Howl, and then Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Adobe Radio, these interviews air live. I talk about awesome new music, new releases with these bands, and a whole lot more, so check that out if you do not. And then afterwards, I put the uncut, unedited versions of the interviews on the podcast feed, because sometimes due to time constraints, you know, with Rock the Walls being a 2-hour show on Adobe Radio, over the pandemic, I have had the privilege and the opportunity to do a lot of interviews where it's just a great conversation, and we end up talking way more than what is allotted for 2 hours when you also drop in the music, the intros, the outros, all that sort of stuff. So very excited to get some of those up. Some really interesting conversations with bands like The Devil Wears Prada, Eskimo Callboy, Caliban, Trivium, so many more. Serious grocery list. I have been kind of inconsistent over this last little bit, so apologies for that, but I'm going to be hopping on my horse, getting on a consistent schedule. I'm looking at something like Monday, Wednesday, Fridays for the podcast to catch up with all this backlog and whatnot. So if you have already not subscribed to the podcast, simply search Rock the Walls in your favorite podcasting app, click subscribe, and never miss an episode. Right now, we are going to hop into our interview with today's guest, David Schellenberg, guitarist and vocalist of Tunic, just dropping Exhaling, their debut release for Artifact Records a couple months back. It is their debut album, along with 3 new tracks. Really awesome, dude. We talk all about the record, the new songs, what's to come on new material, and also what people may not know is he is actually an owner and booker at a local venue in his home city of Winnipeg, Manitoba. So we talk what that's been like during the COVID-19 pandemic and a whole lot more. So here it is, my interview with David Schellenberg, guitarist and vocalist of Tunic, on the Rock the Walls podcast. You are listening to Rock the Walls here on Adobe Radio. I'm your host, Patrick Walford. Right now, we are joined by a band. They're going to be dropping their brand new album, Exhaling, coming up this Friday on Artifact Records. We are here with Winnipeg, Manitoba's Tunic and their guitarist, vocalist, David Schellenberg. David, how's everything going, man? This is a record that, is a compilation release for you guys, as well as 3 new songs. But how's it feel to get these new songs out there and just rolling them out over the last couple of years and or the last couple of months in the lead up to the album release?
It's been great. It's first of all, thanks for having me and the band, but it's been great. It's been really cool. This is our first release with Artifact, and it's really been cool to give these songs of some proper life. And we've been a real road dog band for a long time, playing 100 plus shows a year for the last few years here. So it's been quite an adjustment. So it's kind of cool to see all the folks and fans we've sort of made along the way, like slogging on the road, love the new tracks and share it and, you know, pre-order the record and stuff. So, you know, it's been pretty rad.
Hell yeah, man. Now for you guys in these new tracks, were they all 3 tracks recorded, you know, during the course of the pandemic pretty much?
Actually, right before. We tracked a second record. So we the first record we have, our debut record, is included on Exhaling, and then so we tracked a second record that will be announced later this year. But these 3 songs are from that. We tracked the they're not on the second record, but they were recorded during the second record sessions. And so these 3 new songs were recorded in January of 2020. So right on the cusp.
Nice banner. I mean, for you guys then in bridging, you know, the debut complexion, you know, with these three songs into what will then later become the sophomore release and whatnot, how are these three songs kind of acting as a bridge of what'll take the listeners from the first into the second record?
That's a good question. It's I think it's just a more mature sound. I kind of found like Tunic was really a way for me. Like, I bought a guitar to make this band. Like, I've always been a bass player. I bought a guitar. That first record is, and everything on Exhaling really is me finding my voice as a guitarist and a songwriter. They're both like my first stabs at both those things, and being a front person for that matter. And now with these, you know, with Exhaling, the song Invalid and Fade Out, I am a more confident songwriter, vocalist, and everything. So it's just sort of a mature, more smarter sounding stuff than I feel like than the previous stuff we've released.
Hell yeah, man. And what has that been like for you over the last couple of years of just, you know, just learning kind of the ins and outs of guitar and, you know, what is you kind of feel is appropriate, you know, for the Tunic sound, but as well at the same time, you know, stepping into a vocalist spot as well and just finding your way through, you know, writing and tracking and whatnot. You know, I've read in prior interviews, you know, as far as like lyrical content and what you're singing about and whatnot. Most of it is something that's really personal to you because you don't want to be, you know, singing about stuff that doesn't necessarily mean anything to you personally. So what has that been like just over these last couple of years? And as you said, you know, growing with this, these new songs, you know, being more mature into the second album. I mean, you know, when you get into your 20s and adulthood and whatnot, you know, I feel like something as far as like maturity, whether through music or life, it's something that just kind of happens and isn't necessarily something that, like, you know, you step back and make a conscious effort towards. So how'd you kind of navigate that?
So Tunic was always sort of like a hobby band. We were never supposed to do, I kind of thought my music career was over when I started Tunic, to be completely fair. I played in a different band when I was in my early 20s. I'm 29 now, and we, you know, it was cool. We got to tour all over the world and do some stuff. And then I was like, no, what? I want to try something different. And so Tunic was supposed to just be for fun. And so, like, really the first like two and a half years of Tunic was just like glorified hanging out, like just getting together with Rory, our bass player, and Sam, who was our original drummer. And really just goofing off and hanging out and writing songs in a really, you know, pressure free environment. I think that's kind of what allowed me to develop as a guitar player and a songwriter and a vocalist is really just like, we just took the time just to hang out and really didn't put any pressure on it. No, go, go, go. And then sort of as we like went on our first tour, they're like, this will be fun. You know, like, we did that. And I was like, that was cool. We actually like had a good time. We like broke even and stuff like that. So it's just sort of like, it's kind of just snowballed into this beast. And I kind of just got, I think it's kind of classic for every band is like, once you get a little taste of quote unquote success here or something that you deem as like, I know, like a goal, like, and mm-hmm. then so you just want more and more. And so that's kind of, I kind of got greedy and just started to push it and see how far this thing could go. It's going pretty good.
Hell yeah, man. Absolutely awesome to hear. And just as far as it goes, you know, with the other members of your band, are these two guys that you've also known for, you know, kind of an extended period of time, you know, being a part of the Winnipeg music scene, you know, not only as a musician, but also as someone who's, you know, done some promoting and talent buying at local venues and whatnot?
Yeah, of course. Well, Rory, who's played bass, is him and I lived together for 3.5 years. Like, we were each other's like first roommates when we first moved out, like as teenagers. I was the best man at Rory's wedding, you know, this summer.
Nice.
So like that goes, you know, that goes deep. We, you know, we've traveled a bunch together and we've, you know, have a big friend group, like, you know, not just doing band stuff. We hang out with each other, you know? And Dan, they're non-binary. They use they, them pronouns. They were a Tunic super fan. So they played in a bunch of bands but they played in a bunch of like indie rock bands, but were always wearing these like, you know, Dark Throne shirts or Converge shirts or something like that. And like, I was like, what's this kid's deal? Cause Dan is a fair amount younger than us. And then when Sam quit, we're just like, fuck it. Let's give this kid a shot. And I remember Dan showed up and it was just like, what songs do you know? And they were like, oh, every single song you've ever released, I know how to play already. And we were just like, oh, damn, true. Okay, let's go. And then so it's been really cool. So Dan was someone that we sort of met through the band, and it's like we've obviously seen them play a bunch in other projects, but they really brought, like, I kind of thought that Tunic was on death's door. And then when Dan showed up, I was like, oh no, like, here we go. Like this, you know, I don't call them a kid anymore. They're adult, 24 years old, for Christ's sake. But like, they really brought like the spirit back to the project.
Fuck yeah, man. That's absolutely awesome to hear. And I mean, his input on some of the newer material and whatnot must have been pretty interesting as well, as somebody who, you know, knows the songs inside and out just as well as you guys do. So, I mean, his input when it came to recording these three new songs, and then as well the sophomore album, just how huge was that, and kind of the process of it, you know, maybe even helping you guys from a kind of a creative standpoint, and just how enthusiastic and energized they kind of were.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, Dan, like their enthusiasm and love for the project. Like, you know, you don't really realize how good something is until you're so involved and you're so close to it. And so when they showed up, they're like, this is what I think Tunic is all about. And it's like, oh, you know what? I think you're right. I think that is what the band's all about. And I just haven't realized it because I've been, you know, so laser focused on something else. So it's just, they've been a dream band member. They've been crazy dedicated, and like, I know, I was like, I don't know if I want to like go on all these tours. And Dan's like, that's what Tunic does. And I was like, you know what, damn it, Dan, you're right. That is what Tunic does. We're hitting the road hard, you know, like, and so it just really did bring like the youthful enthusiasm that you need, you know, to continue pushing the band when you're pushing 30 and you're like, oh man, all my friends are buying houses and stuff. And then everybody else is like, oh, sorry. Yes. In Winnipeg, you can buy a house if you're 30. I know that's, I know that's a strange concept for anyone who's lives anywhere else, but
yeah, well, especially fuck man, that I was gonna say Toronto, but honestly, like, the greater Toronto area, or even the greater Toronto area, which isn't actually something that exists, but I would say that the greater Toronto area would be like a 3-hour radius of the city in any direction. Fuck man, I think the average home price here in Toronto is over $1 million, and a lot of these smaller towns just outside the city, they're starting to get up there as well. I grew up in a small town of about 10,000 people called Alliston, the potato mm-hmm. capital of Ontario.
Oh, hell yeah.
And back when I was a kid, you know, houses were like $200,000 or $300,000. And now, you know, those exact same houses, or houses similar to ones now in new neighborhoods, are going for like $900,000 to $1 million. So it's like,
yeah, that's...
it's insane. But it's good to hear that being able to afford a house in Winnipeg is something that is actually attainable.
Well, yeah, and rent is cheap, right? So it's like one of those things where we can actually go on tour and be like, you know, we come home with a little bit of money. It's like, how much is your rent? It's like, it's this much. It's like, well, I can give you 50% of that. And they're like, that's, and everyone's like, that's cool. Like, you know, like, it's so like, yeah. as much as Winnipeg is isolated and not really a culture capital of the country at all, it does allow, the cheap living really allows you to push your artistic dreams.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. We are here talking with David Schellenberg, guitarist and vocalist of Tunic. They're going to be dropping Exhaling coming out this Friday on Artifact Records. And just as far as things go for yourself, just over the last 13 months or so, what has COVID kind of been like for yourself, you know, in Winnipeg? I know a couple months ago, you guys had a pretty bad outbreak where the province had to be locked down again and whatnot. But is it kind of on the other side, kind of light at the end of the tunnel at this point, or is it
oh god no
same in Ontario?
It's the same as the like everybody else out west, right? Like Alberta, like Saskatchewan, Alberta and BC are all locking down and the variants are going nuts, so it's you know, it's very much glooming here. But for me, the last 13 months, like, we flew to New York on like March 12th, 2020 to like play a festival. And we were there for like 36 hours and we're just like, oh, well, like, you know, the next day we woke up and we're like, all right, let's catch a flight, get the fuck out of here. And so like, I own a bar and I book shows for a living. And so like, that's really like pretty much everything in my life that I've dedicated my whole adult life to just like shit the bed, like my bar and shows and the band and everything. And so I just have the first little while I just sort of dragged my heels and wrote a little bit, but now I'm starting to like, I got into home recording. I I took some classes online. Like I went back to like to university. I just figured if I had the time, I might as well, you know, get some education in there. So it was, I decided to use the time instead of just sit and wait around.
Yeah, for sure, man. And has kind of the provincial government there been helpful towards, you know, your own kind of venue and bar as far as, you know, being able to provide, you know, emergency funding or anything like that? I know here in Ontario, there's been a couple of venues specifically here in Toronto that are, mm-hmm. you know, in pretty tough right now because they weren't necessarily able to, I guess, qualify for the funding that they were allowing.
Yeah, we like accessed every dollar that we could, like the mostly national, just recently provincial. We've just got funding. It took, you know, fucking 14 months or 13 months, you know, for the province to realize that they should, you know, that culture is worth saving. So, you know, so it's been an uphill battle like everybody else, but you know, we got every penny that we can get, and you know, we're just trying to, you know, pay our subsidized rent and stay afloat like everybody else.
Yeah, definitely, for sure, man. And I mean, it's interesting to see too, you know, over the last couple of weeks and getting to, you know, interview bands, a lot of them being either located in Europe or the United States. I mean, you know it just as well as I do. It's got to be crushing as well, you know, especially as someone who's about to, you know, drop this new release, you know, a sophomore album later on this year in 2022. And, you know, you go on social media and you see your feed of American friends and they're all, you know, posting about how they already have all their second vaccines and whatnot.
People who have like slept at their crust punk house, like in the States, like on Facebook, like, who've like, I just got my vaccine. And I'm like, cool. And I saw this Unreal tweet that says they should try giving Canadians the vaccine. And that was, that really resonated with me.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. I think something that I've given more thought into over the last month or two here, as the rollout's been as slow as it has, is it's like, man, you know, a lot of those quote unquote North American tours that, you know, go and hit, you know, Toronto, Montreal, maybe on the I would say about the 10% chance they also have Western Canadian dates of, you know, mm-hmm. Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver. I don't know if you're going to see those kind of tours or routing of tours for, you know, possibly a year plus here in Canada, just because I think there's going to be something going on, you know, with the border not allowing, you know, American bands to or international bands to maybe freely cross the American and the Canadian border.
It is truly terrifying, like, you know, because, like, you know, God bless Canada. I love being Canadian, but like, the music that we make is just so niche that we can't really have a full career. Like, you know, there's not like, you know, we're a type of band, we can't play Oshawa, we can't play Thunder Bay or Sudbury or something like that. You know, like, we got to play the big markets. And so we have to make our way into the States. So hopefully that will be, you know, that will happen sooner than later. But for now, we're all just waiting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, man. And I mean, No offense if there's anyone listening in here, you know, from Oshawa, Ontario, Canada, as we have, you know, an international listener base. I don't know if too many bands, unless you're playing like a deathcore band or something, has Oshawa circled on the tour.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Or what's the grindcore capital of Squamish? Yeah, Squamish, British Columbia. So.
Well, David, right now we are going to get into a track off of Exhaling. If you wanted to choose one for the listeners to hear, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more.
Sure. This song is called Invalid, and it's kind of just about, a friend of mine had a song where he said he referred to music as his hopeless hobby. And for me, I like that concept. So I wrote a song about the same thing called Invalid Recreation.
Man, sounds great. We will be back talking more with David Schellenberg, guitarist and vocalist of Tunic. But right now we are going to get to a track off of that brand new release they are dropping on Friday on Artifact Records. This is Invalid on Rock the Walls on IW Radio. I'm your host, Patrick Walford. There is Tunic on Rock the Walls. That is Invalid off of their upcoming release, Exhaling, which they're going to be dropping Friday on Artifact Records. We are currently joined by guitarist and vocalist of the band, David Schellenberg. Now, David, talking a little bit more about that song, and as you mentioned, you know, it's a song about, you know, kind of those feelings of, you know, pursuing music and it being kind of like an invalid thing, as you see a lot of, you know, people around you, whether it's, you know, people you grew up with to, you know, fellow friends and colleagues, you know, doing quote unquote adult things and whatnot. When was that something for yourself that kind of started to hit you, you know, throughout your 20s? Because I feel like that's something that, you know, doing this radio and this band interviewing stuff, it's definitely hit me a couple times where it's like, oh, wow, like, X and Y person from high school are buying this huge house, or, you know, they're starting a family and all this crazy stuff. I feel like it kind of hits everyone at a different point in time.
Yeah. And for me, it's sort of been like, I don't know, I've always kind of known what I've wanted to do. And like music was something that I always wanted to do. And for a long time, everyone was my peers, everyone in my community, like in my early and mid 20s. And then sort of like once I was about 3 years ago, maybe. It was like, 3 years ago, 26 or something like that. It just was like my best friend for like, you know, for the last like 10 years who I started playing with music with, like bought a house. And I was just like, you know, I was doing the band thing and I was, you know, I bought into a bar and I was like, you know, I bought into a bar at like 22 years old. So like, I felt like I had like some adult stuff going on, but then like, but not like mortgage payments or anything like that. So it's just, I just sort of made the decision that like, why can't I do both? There's so many people that make both happen. So why would I not, like, you know, I don't have to dedicate myself to living into punk houses. I don't have to live in squalor. I can have a nice balanced life. And so that's really what I've been shooting for.
Yeah. 150%. I think I sort of came to the same realization. Same thing a couple of years ago, around 25 or 26. It's kind of just like, you know, not in a disrespectful way, but it's kind of just like, you know, like, it's cool what those other people are doing and good for them. But like, you know, I'm going to do my own thing and kind of go on my own journey. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, you know, all the respect to you, like I, you know, it's, you only get one life. Right. And so like, you know, I want to be able to tell my kids one day that like, you know, I fucking chased it, you know, and I went for it and I dedicated my life to something. So like, you know, before I decided to stop doing it, or maybe I will never be done doing it, you know, like it's just sort of part of me at this point.
Yeah. Shout out to my parents for being so supportive over the years of doing this radio stuff. And, you know, I'm sure it's the same way with you as far as, you know, just your parents being really, really cool and really accepting of, you know, pursuing and doing the music stuff.
Yeah. Shout out to my mom specifically, maybe not my father, but, but, you know,
Now, you guys dropped an awesome music video for the track Fade Out a little while back. As far as putting that one together, you know, not only coming up with the idea, but also executing and filming it. How difficult was that?
It wasn't that hard. It was pretty fun. So Patrick, yeah, that video is funny because it's a bit of a reference to, it's like a double reference. I played in this band and we had press photos where that was the concept, obviously without the rubber gloves, pre-COVID, of course, but where we're all like smushing, there's like hands coming from behind over your shoulders that are like smushing your face. And so I always liked those photos and I thought this would be, it would be a great, that was the band I quit to focus on Tunic. And I was sort of told I wasn't good enough to be in that band anymore anyway. So I was kind of like, you know, I don't need to be treated like that. I'm out of here. So it was kind of just like a fun way to just like, it's sort of like a tongue-in-cheek video, but it was you know, like that backdrop is just like a white sheet that I bought, you know, at like the Bay or something, and the gloves I just bought at like Shoppers Drug Mart, and we had a buddy come down, and I explained that we had a buddy come down to shoot it. We shot Exhaling and Fade Out in the same afternoon, and I was just like, here are the concepts, and everybody just sort of looked at me and was, and you know, thankfully enough, just rolled with it. So I never actually ended up putting my fingers in anyone's mouth. That was all, it was all Rory and Dan's hands. I just sort of directed from behind when they ran their hands through each other's mouths.
No, yeah, definitely, man. Because that's something that, like, I mean, somebody touching your face and putting their fingers in and around your mouth and whatnot. That's not necessarily something that you can like prepare or like know what kind of reaction it's gonna, you know, make your face kind of make, you know what I mean, when somebody's doing it, and at the same time not even really being able to see what they're doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And so it's just one of those things where, like, I hope this looks cool after, because it's just like, I don't know, the whole concept behind all tunic videos is just to sort of have like a little bit of uneasiness to them. So that's sort of the goal there.
Yeah, definitely, man. And yeah, that second video for exhaling, that is a lot of food and different things. I mean, you know, luckily for yourself, you know, glasses kind of acting as goggles a little bit in that situation. But that also had to have been a lot of fun, you know, to just be able to kind of kick out, you know, both of those videos in an afternoon. And it's not something where, you know, you guys are necessarily, you know, spending 15 or 18 hours, or, you know, 3 or 4 days on this big concept, where it's something that's more simple, more easy, but at the exact same time, you know, just as, if not more effective, you know what I mean?
Right. And that's like, I'm not a big music video person, to be completely honest. Like, and so these are sort of like my, you know, my attempts at creating something eye-catching that will make you want to stick around and watch the video and listen to the song. So yeah, that, all that food there, it was very funny. As I'm vegan, and so many of my vegan friends were like, yo, like, look at all this food. Like, you know, I know what it's like. They were like naming the products that we were throwing, like that they were dropping on my face. They're like, the Dolce, like, you know, like, it's like, oh, is that Daiya cheese? And I was like, yeah, it was pretty funny. So, but at one point, like, that's just one take, right? We shot that video once. And so we couldn't really do it again because we ran out of food. But I was suffocating at one point. That is why I wiped my mouth.
Oh, fuck.
Because like, I was just like, keep my mouth closed. And then all of a sudden my nose was just full of like corn and ketchup and avocado. And I just like couldn't get any air. And I was like, I can't ruin the video. I'm like, I'm going to have to wipe my mouth. And so then it turned out it looked really cool. So that was lucky.
Now, for yourself and these three new tracks, and then as well, you know, coupling it together with, you know, your past discography and the first record that you guys dropped and whatnot, just, you know, the time in between of, you know, from the debut album into writing these new songs and whatnot, as you kind of took a step back and looked at the first record, as you started to focus on these new songs and whatnot, what was some of the stuff that you and the guys had kind of discussed that you wanted to accomplish or kind of have shine through on these three new tracks?
That's a good question. My vocal delivery was sort of like one of the main things, is that like, we really looked back at the record, and it was actually the very first review we got on the record. Someone's like, the music is good, but the vocals are so one dimensional. And I was like, damn, that guy's like, that cut deep. Like, that really, really hurt me to like, you know, it's just kind of dumb. Like, you know, you're supposed to have like a thick skin. And I was like, but this person is right. Like, my vocals are like, that first record was just me screaming like in one note, you know? And so I was like, to diversify the sound, like the biggest thing will have to play with dynamics musically, and then also play with dynamics with my voice. So that was kind of like the biggest thing, was to just sort of try and write the poppiest versions of our own songs as possible, which I know sounds ridiculous taking out what the songs sound like, but that was kind of the goal.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And was that kind of difficult for yourself to kind of, you know, decide and kind of figure out, you know, what was your quote unquote voice that you kind of want to kind of move forward with, or at least, you know, try out to see how it worked?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time like yelling in my basement apartment at the time, like yelling and talking and singing, if you will, like just trying to find, the right voice for the project. And so it's sort of like one of those things where I'm like, I put all this work into writing the songs, and I was sort of just like half-assed it all the time vocal-wise on that first record. So I just really that was really the thing that I had to step up for this new batch of songs.
Yeah, for sure, man. Now, just as far as that goes with that second record, at this point, is it, you know, 100% done, signed, sealed, good to go? Or are you guys still just kind of working out the final details on
it? Oh, no, it's like, like I have shirt designs coming in, you know, like it's
nice.
It's like, it's done. It's, you know, the album art for it was done before the Exhaling album art was done. Like it's it's just been something like, you know, if it was up to me, it'd be coming out, it would have come out fall 2020, but the world had other plans. So it's been done for a long time. And so I'm excited for it to you know, sooner than later, we'll get going on that. But it's, I'm really excited to share it. It's, even listening to it, like I think I revisited it this week or last week or something. I was like, I'm still pretty proud. I'm like, I'm proud of this thing. So it's cool. So.
Yeah, definitely, man. And I mean, for yourself and, you know, having recorded these three new tracks as well as the new record in the kind of the same period of time, was there kind of any sort of like delegation sort of process of, you know, deciding what three tracks you were going to include on Exhaling and, you know, then what would become the rest of the sophomore album?
Oh, we like had to go out for a meal to figure it out, to be completely honest with you. Like we would like text back and forth and I was like, let's just dedicate, like, you know, everyone texts and no one's like, I'm at work, I'm at school. Like, you know, and it's just like, okay, well, let's fucking sit down at a, you know, in a restaurant and like not leave until we've decided. So that's kind of what we had to do. And everyone like made their points and why. And I think Dan was, Dan really wanted Fade Out to be on the record and Rory and I pushed against it. And so it's, you know, and the hilarious thing is that all of us were like, invalid, that's not going to make it. That's not going to be on the record for sure. And now it's just so funny because that song is just like, people love that song. And so it just goes to show that sometimes you're just too close, you know, to your music.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, one of the great parts of having an odd number of band members is, you know, you don't necessarily get into those 2v2 or 3v3 kind of ties. You know what I mean?
No, it's true. And like, as much as the band is like my baby, but like I do a lot of the legwork and the grunt work, like we're a democratic, you know, product. So like there's been tons of times where I'm like, I don't want to do this. And Rory and Dan will be like, well, we do. I'm like, all right, well, then it's decided. You know, that's how it works.
Yeah, definitely, man. Now, just as far as where you'd like listeners to pick up physical copies, any merch bundles or anything that you guys have, you know, in the lead up to the release of Exhaling, where would you like them to pick up that?
Sure, you can get it. It's all Artifact does everything via Bandcamp. So you can go to artifact.com or you can go to tunicband.bandcamp.com to pick up Exhaling on vinyl and on CD. It's also, we have distro. If you're listening anywhere in the world, there, I can guarantee you that we have distro there. So if you want your Tunic record or CD, contact your local record store. And if they're open, hopefully, and if they are, give them all the money too, because they do important work. So yeah, tunicband.bandcamp.com or anywhere really on the internet, you can find us at Tunic Band doing anything under the @ Tunic Band.
Hell yeah, man, sounds great. And any sort of timeline yet for this sophomore album in terms of when you guys are going to release it, whether within like a couple month window, or is that something that you guys in Artifact are still trying to, you know, nail down more of like an exact date for it?
We still have to nail down the exact date, but the timeline is set, and I keep pushing. Just on my label call, it's Tuesday, so I had my label call today, and so I was just like, "When are we gonna?" And he's just like, "We're putting something out on Friday, David. We'll talk about that later." And I was like, "Oh yeah, right. Good point." Like, I was like, "What's up with this next thing?" He's like, "No, finish this project first." And I was like, "I am very guilty of you know, looking forward before we're done here." So it is all lined up more or less, but nothing I can share yet.
Oh yeah, man. We'll definitely can't wait for that. Hopefully a little bit later on this year, man.
Yeah. There'll definitely be some new music later this year. That I can guarantee.
Yeah, man. Well, David, thanks so much for joining me on Rock the Walls tonight, man. I really appreciate it for your time, and I'm really stoked on these three new tracks, and as well for anyone who hasn't heard of you guys to be able to hear that debut album in its entirety as well on this release, man. One of the things I like to do with the bands that I interview at the end of interviews is with their new release coming out, we get them to choose a track off of that new release for the listeners to hear, and then a track that they would like the listeners to hear by any band, any artist, any genre. So if you want to pick another Tunic song off of Exhaling and a track by any other band or artist, go for it.
Sure. Yeah, we'll go with a Fade Out off of Exhaling. That song is just actually, that song's actually quite sad. It's about a friend of mine who lost his vision to MS, and so it's kind of like, it is really like, that song is pure therapy to me, to just scream about some internal struggle. And then actually, I was revisiting for a song by someone else. I was revisiting this record the other day because it's 10 years old, and Jesse from this band is kind of my band dad and sort of my mentor. Anytime I need help, I'll ask him. So this song is, the other song I'm going to pick is The Book of Muscle by Ken Mode off their album Venerable, which is from 10 years ago. It's just, I listen to that song like 3 times a day these, like right now. It's just a phenomenal track.
Oh yeah, man. Sounds great. David, thanks so much, man. And hopefully by the end of this year, man, we will see you guys over here in Toronto. Hopefully we have conquered COVID-19. Live shows are back before the end of the year, but as we both know, it's a long winding road until we get there, but staying hopeful to say the very least.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I love to kick it and shoot the shit and have a beer somewhere. So thanks so much for having me.
No problem, man. Go and check out their brand new release, Exhaling, coming out this Friday on Artifact Records, talking about Tunic. Right now, we are going to get to the album title track. It is Tunic, Exhaling, on Rock the Walls on Adobe Radio. I'm your host, Patrick Walford.
There you have it, my interview with David Schellenberg of Tunic on Rock the Walls. Very special thank you goes out to him for joining me on the pod today. You can go and check out their latest release, Exhaling, through Artifact Records. It is their debut album along with 3 new songs. You can expect a sophomore album from them coming up later on this year or into 2022. Not too sure about that, but the way David was describing how we kind of attacked it, how we worked on it and whatnot, absolutely cannot wait to hear that new record. I'll be back here in the next couple days on the pod, but in the meantime, you can catch my show, Rock the Walls Live, which is primarily a radio show, Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Adobe Howell, Saturdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Adobe Radio. And as well, over the last couple months here, I have hosted a show over on Adobe Radio Friday nights where I'm spinning the latest and greatest in heavy music called Friday Night Harder, or FNH for short. It's been an absolute blast of a time getting to play awesome new heavy music every Friday night. So make sure you go and check that out. You can follow me on the socials at Rock the Walls on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to the Rock the Walls podcast if you already do not. Simply search Rock the Walls in your favorite podcasting app, click subscribe, and never miss an episode. A lot of stuff to go up on the pod over the next little bit. I'm going to start getting way better and way more on myself as far as making it a consistent thing. I know it has been very inconsistent as far as, converting the interviews that you hear live on the show into the podcast. So I'm going to get on my horse and do that. I'm hoping Monday, Wednesday, Friday uploads potentially or something to about 3 a week of uncut, unedited interviews that either had to be cut down due to time constraints with the show, or it was just simply too long to fit into an entire show. So you'll get all of that and a whole lot more. So very stoked for that. This episode, as a matter of fact, is a special podcast only interview. So probably gonna do a couple more like that in the future over this next little bit, whether it's bands, whether it's people in the music industry, people outside of the music industry. Let's just friggin' talk to interesting people because I love to have interesting talks on the show. So yeah, keep it locked here to the podcast. But until next time, this has been Rock the Walls. I've been your host, Patrick Walford. You have yourselves a good one. And always remember to listen loud.